Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, evening, or night, depending on where you are. Welcome to Rave Reviews Book Club's Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio Show Spotlight Honors. I am your guest host, Beam Weeks, broadcasting live from Lansing, Michigan, USA. This segment of Spotlight Honors is being sponsored by Jan Sykes, the author of Home at Last. If you would like to know how to get your own commercial to air during one of our shows, just visit the Rave Waves tab on the RRBC website for info. It's a fantastic way to promote your books. Now, joining us today from Woodmere, New York, USA, is the author of Pray for the Dead, Suzanne Liest. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments for Suzanne, please feel free to join in on Twitter by using the hashtag RRBC Spotlight Honors. Once again, that is hashtag RRBC Spotlight Honors. We will also be opening the phone lines to callers who have questions or comments for our guest, but you must have pre-registered your phone number with us in order to participate via phone. Thank you for joining us today, Suzanne. All of us here at RRBC are so glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I'll have to speak
now,
more than that.
Yes. As I told you off the air, no need to be nervous. You're amongst friends. That's
okay,
the good thing about the RRBC community is we're all friends here. So let's take a moment here and introduce you to those who may not know you. Who is Suzanne Liest, the person behind the author?
Okay, the person behind the curtain. Let me see. I have an overactive imagination, and I love to read. I had first tried the field of finance, with commodities and budgeting and financial analysis, and I found it dry. And I didn't really care for the people that worked in the field. I wasn't money hungry, and I pretty much like numbers. I like the analysis. And when I had my kids, I decided not to go back. And then I was lost for a few years, and I was thinking, what do I really enjoy to do? I enjoy reading and, well, shopping. That doesn't really give you a career. So I decided to write a book. Now, writing a book sounds easy, but it took me around 4 years to figure out how to make my characters move and talk. It's not as easy as people make it sound. And when I asked other authors, how do you make them walk around and move, and what are they doing? And so that took me like 4 years to get the movement going. And then the dialogue, then people would say it was stilted. So then I had to figure out how to make them speak and make it sound real. So many people say they should read it out loud. So I read it to my dog, and, you know, because nobody else would listen. My family doesn't read my stuff. No, really. I mean, I just sit here, my little Maltese. He's my little partner, and he's my one follower, my definite follower. And so afterwards, I wrote the first book, The Dead Game. And it started out as a murder mystery. It takes place in a small fictional town on the coast, the northern coast of Florida. And it has a creepy house. And people are invited to a party. Well, they're young people. They're in their 20s. So it's like a new adult, young adult kind of book. And they go there. And, of course, nobody's there but the creepy house. And a part of them go upstairs. And they're stuck in a maze of rooms. They go in a circle. And they see dead bodies and all these strange things. Anything that my mind could conjure up. And then the group that goes downstairs, they're traps that are come down from the ceiling, and the water fills up, and as well. They get out, and then they realize that
they have to
find out.
We'll go back. We'll get back to that. Telling the story here. As far as you being an author, the person behind
the
author.
Oh, you want to talk about me? Okay.
Yeah. Did you take any kind of like classes, or did you study, or did you just ask other authors about how to make your characters?
I studied online.
That.
I had enough of school. I went for my MBA. I said, I'm not going to school anymore. And so I decided to do everything. I said, usually if I study enough and work hard enough, I do well. But that's different, I guess, in college and graduate school. Because in writing, it's you could study, and you could study, and you could read every article and take all the classes. And I guess you have to have the art, the skill, the special oomph that you need. But I've learned how to outline from authors online, and it's just pretty much reading and researching for 10 years. And
okay. Yeah, because I think everybody that first sits down and decides that they're going to write a story, I think we all go through that. It's like, how do you do this? How do you do that?
Right.
Me, I saw that the reading of other stories, you get that idea. And
right.
From there, you just add elements of your own once you're moving along, and that's how you become.
Did you find that you picked up bad things from other authors? Because there's an author I'm not going to mention, but she's in paranormal, and I picked up so many bad writing habits from her that I had to get rid of that author, and I had to relearn everything. So
I've seen that, and when you're able to see that. That makes you an even better, a better author, because you're able to see it reading other people's work, and then you can make those adjustments to your own work.
Right.
But speaking of
my
your own work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, my big epiphany and breakthrough was with the show and tell, show and not tell.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. And the adverbs.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Slay all adverbs. Don't tell. That's a big one. That's a big one. And that's a hard one for new authors. That's a hard one to comprehend for some people. But once they get it,
that's what I got a lot of my reviews on Amazon for after my first book. And I said, "What is show and tell? What is it?" And then I researched that, and I rewrote the book 3 times. And they say not to keep doing it, just go on. But I said no, and I just rewrote it on a few months ago. So
okay,
yeah.
Now the book we're going to discuss. Okay, yeah.
The next one.
That's
right.
Well, that's how you gotta do it. You gotta be persistent. The book we're going to discuss today is Pray for Dead. Now tell us about this paranormal romance suspense story.
Right. Okay, it's a continuation of the first book. It takes place in the same place, Oasis, Florida. The dead, which are the bad vampires, return. And they're good vampires and bad vampires. And then the hybrids, which are a combination of human and vampires. Then there are the humans. Okay, so the dead come back. They're killing people and people disappearing. And there's time travel involved. And most of it culminates in a club this is where my weird imagination comes in. I saw online there's something called Club 33 in Disney World. It's a very big club, and very wealthy people can go. You go by invitation, and to be a member, you have to have like a heritage of members. So it's like the elite of society allowed to go to this club, and it's in New Orleans in Disney World. Well, the original one is in Disneyland, because when I wrote my book, it didn't exist in Disney World yet, but now it does. So I wrote it before I guess they were planning it, but I didn't know. Anyway, so the first one's in Disneyland. If there's a door in the New Orleans section, it just says Club 33. I don't think it doesn't say club, it just says 33. And you see tourists walking by, and they don't even know what it is. And you go inside, and it's an exclusive club, and they have microphones to listen to you, and it's really creepy. And it's Walt Disney's little hideout. Disney himself, he would go. He would go from the back of the lot and with his limousines and come through to visit the club. And they have meals, and they have things on display that belong to Disney. And there's props from like Mary Poppins and Disney films. Well, anyway, so this is a real club in Disneyland. So I decided I'll put mine in Florida, in Disney World, and I called it the club. I didn't want to really, copyright whatever, so I gave it a different name. But I kind of used the format of the floor plan of the club, with the vulture that's sitting in the corner that talks to people, and the microphones that are in the lights and all that. So, but now they're building one in Disney World. Well, that my vampires are there. They will nest for a while, and so they track the dead there. And it, well, I'm not gonna say what happens, but it ends up there's a showdown in the swamps. Well, Florida has a lot of swamps, so in the southwest part of I had to read up a little on the geography and everything. There are swamplands and there's tree islands that are just like sawgrass and like clumps of trees. So all my vampires and humans and the witch all converge at the end, and there's a showdown, and I kill off a main character.
Ooh.
My second book, a really main character, like really main. So.
Okay.
I wasn't
that's
going
always
to.
A,
yeah, it was just like
a
I was taking
move.
A shower. But it was time for the person to go. So. It was hard, you know. It was hard getting rid of the person, and then there's going to be a third book.
Okay, so now this is book two in the Dead Game series. As you mentioned, there's going to be a third book. Can this book
right.
be read as a standalone title, or should readers start with book one?
Well, according to my reviews, people say that you can read it alone because in the prologue, I do a little backtracking. Oh, I have two characters. I have two characters that kind of speak about the past, so you know who the dead are and everything. But if you want to really know the characters, you could read the first book.
Okay.
And these are expensive. It's 99 cents for the first one, $2.99 for the second one. And I had the first one in paperback, but I rewrote it so many times, and Outskirts Press charges an arm and a leg to do any changes, so I just told them to go away. That's it. So I just have it. No, it's really, you know, when they talk the vanity presses, they really take advantage of you. So.
Okay. We're going to jump over to Twitter real quick. Wendy Scott, she says, Suzanne, I took 3 years to write my first manuscript. I call it my learning curve. It's unpublished and will remain so. So, well, Wendy, maybe you should kind of polish it up and as you go along, and someday it could be that big seller. And she also says, Wendy also says, vampires in Disneyland. What a great imagination you have. And I think the very same thing. Now, your bio says you've been a reader. It also says, or you've always been a reader, but it also
right.
says that you've been inspired by classic television programs like Murder, She Wrote and Columbo.
Right.
Now that covers
right.
the murder and suspense. From where
right.
did the supernatural come?
The supernatural came from the TV show Supernatural. Really? You ever hear the TV show? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. We're talking TV shows here.
Okay, the Winchester Brothers. I mean, it's witty. It has humor. It has demons. It has a whole slew of things. But it has like a twist and a fun to it. And that's kind of like what I love. And then the originals. Vampire Diaries, I didn't really like that much. I don't read paranormal. I just watch it on TV. Oh, and the OA. I like science fiction.
Okay.
Netflix.
Now, have you ever
yeah.
had your own paranormal experiences?
No.
No. No.
I don't believe in it. No, this is
no.
an escape for me. Right.
Okay.
I don't want to write about anything bad like viruses or, you know. That's why I like vampires, because they're good looking and they fall in love and they're charming, you know. And that, I think that's
yeah,
just,
and
yeah.
And they're popular. I mean, people love a good vampire story.
Yeah, I think they were more popular a few years ago. I think they come and go.
I mean, look at Dracula. Dracula's been around since Bram Stoker
right.
wrote it back in the late 1800s, and that every I don't know generation there's
right.
a new Dracula film out.
Those are dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as dark, I guess.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe mine
more
is a satire, kind of. You know, it's my character.
And there's,
the young
yeah,
and
there's
silly.
A place for that
yeah.
too. There's a place for that. It's just finding that little niche. Now, over on Twitter, Ted D. Burner, he makes a comment to you. He says, killing off the main character. I love it.
Well, it's not the main. It's one of the main. It's not
one of the main.
Main,
yeah.
Main.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I mean, even that, just killing off one of the main characters is that's a big thing.
It is. It is. And it really affected me. And I'm walking around and I'm saying to my husband, oh, I killed so and so. And he goes, so who cares? I said, but I killed the person. Now I don't see them anymore. And they're out, you know, and I miss the person. I don't want to say it's a man or a woman. So. And he doesn't care. He read a few pages of my first book, and he fell asleep, and that was it. Well, he doesn't read books. He just reads newspapers. One daughter doesn't, so I don't know. I have two daughters.
All right. Now, what led you into the field of vampires, of all supernatural things? I mean, it's...
I don't know. Nothing leads to me. I start writing. It was going to be a murder mystery. Like I called the house End House because Agatha Christie had a End House in one of her, I just like the name of it. So I don't know if Agatha Christie is going to sue me, but anyway, so I used the name End House. It's a house at the end of the drive by the water, and it's all creepy. And it was just going to be a murder mystery. And I had clues. I left clues around the house. And there were bodies, you know, it had has all the trappings of a murder mystery. But then all of a sudden I started writing that the residents were living in the woods and they didn't come out during the day and they were very seclusive and they had parties and the rest of the people from town weren't invited. And I said, okay, I'll make them vampires. And that's how I write. All of a sudden I decide, and then all of a sudden, oh, there goes my outline because now I have to change everything. There goes the pinch point and the plot point and the this point and I don't know. That's my big thing. I can't seem to keep to the outlines.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's a lot of people like that. I outline, and every so often it just makes sense to stray because something new comes to you and it's like, wait a minute, what if we try this instead? And it just makes the story that much more intriguing.
Right. So you stray off it also. Okay.
See, I like to have a twist at the end of a lot of my short stories, and I don't put that twist in the outline. That twist doesn't come until at the end. And I might sit on that story for weeks thinking, all right, what can the twist be? And
I'll
decide on the twist, and then a better one will come to me, and I'll go back and rewrite it. It's the creative mind.
Oh, so yours works like that also. Right. I don't know the twist sometimes till the end, but then I have to make sure the clues follow through also. That's where the fun starts. Yeah.
Now, I understand you've also tried your hand at poetry. Would you ever consider releasing a book of a poetry? Because poetry is a hot market within the RRBC community.
I know. I started writing poetry as little ditties for my book. I really like making banners. I have hundreds of banners, and I have poems to go with each one. And I've been posting them in WordPress, and I have followers now. So I think people like my poetry better. But then I'm delaying because then I'll have to start learning about poetry. I mean, I know about haikus. I know I like when they rhyme. I think I like it better. I tried the non-rhyming. I like the rhyming. But to do that, I'm going to have to learn. I'm going to have to start doing research. I mean, there's so many different...
Just write from the heart. I think that's the best poetry comes from the heart.
Oh, okay. All right.
But what do I know?
I'm
not a poet.
Authors. I belong to authors. I might have to say that.
If it's not RRBC related, no.
Oh, okay. So it's a group where people post the poetry, and we make comments in each other's, and I see what other people write. So then I learn from them. So maybe one day.
I think it would be an interesting thing. You know, people are used to reading the vampire stuff from you, and then suddenly, hey, here's a poetry book. That might be kind of interesting.
All of a sudden, I'm writing about flowers, and then the next poem is about death and vampires. No, really, if you ever look at my blog, that's what it is. It could be flowers, death.
That's, you know, it's different subjects. I mean, that's what makes poetry so amazing is that there are people that can write about anything in the poetic genre, and that's always amazing. It's always amazed me, and it's always fascinated me. that somebody can take, you know, some little life incident and turn it into this beautiful poem that actually, when you're reading it, you can envision exactly what they're going through. And like I said, it's, we've got some really good poets here in the RBC community. So that's why I brought that question up.
Right. Well, what I do, I go on Tumblr and I find a picture and I write about it and I post the picture.
Well, there you go.
I look at a picture, it could be of anything. And I started as a way to practice writing. I thought I'd become more, not eloquent, but I don't know. I can't think of the word. Like using adverbs and more flowy, because in poetry you could use adverbs. You could really let loose where you can't anymore with prose. Prose now is so stiff. You have to write like, oh, I took out said. Okay, I won't say said anymore. I mean, I won't even say, first I won't say whispered. Okay, but now like, oh, I don't even say the word said anymore. Now people don't say, they just speak without even, you know, saying they're speaking. So.
But. Yeah. Now I'm going to jump over here on Twitter real quick. Wendy Scott's talking about outline. She says, my outline is a guide only. It always evolves. The characters have their own ideas. And I agree with that to an extent. That's what I'm talking about when there are certain times where, all right, you get to know that character now in your writing. And well, the outline says go left, but at this point you realize the character is going to go right.
Right.
So you make those little changes. And I think
that's why you have an eraser. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Now, speaking of the RRBC community, you've been here for a while, and we ask this question of each of the members we have here on the show. As a member of the RRBC community, how has this impacted your journey as a writer?
Well, I've met new authors, and I've read their books, and I speak to them online. It's good to have a network. Really. When I started out, I was just sitting alone in my bedroom writing, and it just felt lonely. But now it's not as lonely anymore. Now I could go on Twitter and I see my friends there.
That's an interesting take on it. I think there were a lot of us that were authors that were just sitting there alone, feeling alone, when we discovered this amazing community here. Rave Reviews Book Club. And you use the term networking, and that's a concise view of what it is. It truly is. It's networking. You read other people's work. They read yours. You get reviews.
You help each other out.
You get input.
Right.
And even the marketing, I mean, they're out there tweeting about your book. They've read your book. Now they're tweeting about it.
I tweet so much. Oh, God. I think I get all my sales by Twitter, pretty much.
Yeah. I used to get sales by Twitter. I'm like I was saying off air, I'm leaning more towards Instagram these days, but I still use Twitter. It's still a necessity.
Right.
Now, here's something. I read in your bio, there's a line that says, if someone tells you it's too late in life to try something different, they are wrong. It is never too late to follow your heart. I love that message. Are there other new adventures out there that you want to try, but you haven't yet? Skydiving?
Well, I'm not finished with this one yet. Hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe poetry. I mean, Yeah,
there you go.
Or advertising. No, I really should have gone into advertising because I love writing these ditties. I mean, I bet I could sell any product. And I was taking marketing. I was going into bio. So I took pre-med bio. Then people told me, oh, don't do that. Only people that can't become doctors do that. Okay, so then I went to psychology. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm going to analyze. And I analyzed too much because I'm pretty analytical. And I'm always analyzing myself. I thought I'd drive myself crazy. So then I went into business because my brother was in business. He was a commodity trader. So that's how I got into that. And I did really well in the classes, and they were hard, and they were all men. And I remember in graduate school, the teacher, like, he wouldn't answer, but I would ask a lot of stupid questions. I would ask anything that came to mind, anything I didn't know, because other people were afraid. And he got annoyed with me. But then when I got the highest grade in the class, then all of a sudden I got respect. And I think that's when I decided to go. I don't know.
Sometimes
it was me against
yourself.
The men. Yeah.
Yeah. When you prove yourself, that's when the respect comes in. Now, we kind of briefly touched on this next question, but I'm curious about this because I think it's cool. What led you to mingle Disney World with vampires, which I find to be genius, by the way?
Oh, you do? Thank you.
Yes,
I do. Okay. Nobody ever said anything. Oh, I don't know. I closed my eyes and I said, where do I want to put them now? I said, Disney. And I saw that club. I said, oh, God, who belongs there? And I'm thinking, like, oh, I could even see Trump there. I think that's one of my characters said. I mean, who's going to be sitting there? You know, no, he's not there, but I'm saying things like that. Oh, do you know where they're going in my next book?
Where's that?
Okay, they're going to Quebec.
Ooh.
So, people say that you should write about things you know. So I said, okay, where have I been? Not too many places. But I love Chateau Frontenac with the funicular, that elevator thing, the cable thing that goes down. Well, that's where they're going to be.
Okay.
I haven't written it yet, but I think they're going to have a fight on that.
So you're not going to, like, turn any Mouseketeers into vampires?
No, I'm finished with that.
You
want me to
Mickey
go back
Mouse
to
Club
me?
Where they're on there feeding on victims? Mouseketeer time, kids.
Well, she did take the Pirates of the Caribbean ride with one of the vampires, so that was kind of creepy. But no, it's more of a setting, you know, yeah.
All right.
Like vampires take over Disney, right? Okay.
All right. So we are, time is winding down. We got time for another question or two. Now, do you invest a lot of time in research as you're writing your stories?
Yes.
But,
I don't know how
you would research vampires, but I mean, is there like some true to life lore that you've researched that you've added to your story?
Well, I've read the true-to-life lore, and it's kind of boring. So I know the kind of lore, you know, but I don't follow it all. I'm kind of following what they do on TV. I like the way you have to cut off their head, and they live longer, and I don't believe in the garlic, and they could be.
Yeah, I never got
the
garlic thing myself.
No. No, I kind of make it up, but not too much, because I don't like it when some shows, they just keep making it more and more stuff. Like, I was watching The Protector on Netflix, and it was like, oh, no, they made this up now? No, that's ridiculous. Oh, they're living underground with this thing? No. This is like, okay, no. So it has to be, you know, supposed to be believable bits in the unbelievable. That's, you know, kind of, you know.
Okay, final question. What do you consider to be your greatest accomplishment in life?
My daughters. No,
okay.
Really. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
And if the books sell, that would be my second. Yeah.
Well, whether it sells or not, you accomplished
right.
That. That's a great accomplishment. You've got.
Well, I want a lot
book.
Of people to read it, not just, you know, I'm just. I don't even care if it makes money. I just wanted people to say, oh, wow, oh, Disney, like you said. But it's so hard to get noticed. I mean, there's so many books out there.
Yes,
and
there
if I
is.
Pay,
it's over a million a year.
I know if I pay to have her promoted, all of a sudden I get sales. But I can't keep paying more than I'm getting from it all the time. So I have to space it out. But people say I should make them free, but I don't want to make them free. Well,
yeah, I'm not
saying
that.
No.
We got one last comment here on Twitter, and that's from Wendy Scott. And she says, "Vampire Musketeers, that would clear the waiting lines." And yes, it would.
And do I sound like Minnie Mouse? Because I've been telling people when I hear myself on, I don't sound like, okay. All right.
No.
My husband says I sound like Minnie Mouse, so.
Well,
okay.
if you take it up a couple of octaves, then probably, but no, you don't sound like Minnie
Mouse. Okay, vampires in Disney World.
There you go.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Suzanne, so we're just about out of time, and I just want to say thank you so much for visiting with us today and letting us get to know you on Spotlight Honors.
And I lived through this. Oh, God.
Yes,
right.
You did. See?
I think it's all the coffee
nobody,
I drank.
Nobody reached out and bit you. Okay, so now it's time to share an exciting message about another RRBC author's work. This month, we are taking a look at Home at Last by Jan Sykes.
Home at Last by Jan Sykes. Luke Stone was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He paid for it with a long and lonely stint in Leavenworth Prison. After 15 nightmarish years, he was finally released. When he boarded the Greyhound bus bound for Texas, he was penniless and broken. The unjust conviction had torn apart his family and his career. The only thing Luke had was the hope and dream of rejoining his one love, Jarlena Flowers. She was still the woman who took his breath away. Home at Last, the third in a series, is a compelling, true love story. It is a tale of redemption, of the power of forgiveness, and the miracle of enduring love. Home at Last by author Jan Sykes is available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback formats. Read on Kindle Unlimited for free. Pick up your copy today.
And there you go. So go out there and grab a copy of Home at Last by Jan Sykes. I want to say thank you again, Suzanne. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day and joining
us. Thanks so much.
And thank you to those who were on Twitter. It wasn't a real big crowd today, but not to worry. There will be others who will be hearing this in the archives. So remember, if you miss a live show, you can always find each and every episode in the archive. This is your host, Beam Weeks, thanking you for tuning in today and listening to Spotlight Honors, a Rave Waves production. Be sure to join us again soon for another exciting episode of Rave Waves Blog Talk Radio, where all things literary are our passion. And we will see you again, folks. Goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your day.